Welcome to the Two Marketing Moms podcast.
Two women with 50 years plus of marketing
integrity and culture are extremely important.
You can still say, I don't know.
Stop multitasking and be present in the
moms
moment.
Moms have balls, big time.
Welcome to the Two Marketing Moms podcast. We are two women with more than 50 years of marketing and advertising experience between us, and we want to talk about the struggles, the fails, and the wins that we experienced while building our careers, being a boss, juggling work and a home life, and arguably the hardest and yet most fulfilling job, being a mom. This podcast was created for marketing and advertising professionals, especially the up-and-coming marketing stars of the future. We hope these tips, tricks, and advice will help you navigate work and life and get ahead.
Welcome to the Two Marketing Moms podcast. Today, our episode are the productivity hacks Kelly and I have tried and that have worked. So basically, we are tired of seeing literally everywhere in email, on social, everywhere, people promoting, oh, look, Kelly has them all.
This is just a portion of all of the, if you're watching on YouTube, this is just a portion of all of the productivity books that I have read. If it's out there, I have read it. And some are more, are better than others. So we're going to talk about the ones we like the most today.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a zillion tools, concepts, systems. Are they full of it, right? What actually works? And some of them, I think, work better than others, especially for our particular industry and our line of work. So I'm going to open up with talking about eating the frog. And apparently I'm new to this, right? concept. And I guess it's like based, I've been told it's based on a quote from Mark Twain, but that Brian Tracy, you know, arguably the most famous sales coach of all, really embraced it. So Mark Twain said, eat a live frog first thing in the morning and nothing worse will happen to you the rest of the day. And so basically Brian Tracy says that if you get that eating the frog out of the way, that most uncomfortable thing first, you will win the day. And I think this, we'll talk about this as we get through today's topic, right? Because I think a lot of things come back to this. Like, are that really directed at people who procrastinate? Is it a good motivator for being productive? Anyways, so here you go.
When you first suggested these ideas in the notes, I laughed really hard because I have honestly never heard that saying before. So that's a completely new one for me. Very descriptive, very difficult to digest. And I really don't like it.
Because who wants to eat like a live frog?
I mean, but I agree with the concept. And in every single productivity book that I have read, and some of them I just showed you, they all say the same thing. Start with the hard stuff. Do that hard stuff, the most important thing that you got to do in the morning before anything else.
And I almost agree with it. Like I'm 95% there, but I also think that the other 5% for me, I need to be in a certain zone to accomplish fill in the blank, whatever that is, right? If it's a creative thing, or if it's a writing thing, or if it's a strategy thing, I sometimes don't want to do it first thing. I want to do something else. Anyways, okay. So let's talk about, everyone will relate to these, are obstacles to productivity. So like, what are the things, okay, I'll give you three of mine. So things that become urgent, right? And I'll get into this too, because I think those urgent things sometimes are propelled by an email, which is just the death of all.
Well, there's a saying, isn't it? Is it urgent or is it important? Because things that are urgent are never important.
Ugh.
Right?
I actually did have one urgent, important thing yesterday, but I would agree with you. Also, multitasking, I think as women too, right? We just multitask. I saw the funniest meme. Oh my gosh. We've got to share it on our social. And okay. It was like a dad coming to the car to take his kid somewhere. And the dad just like walks to the car with his keys.
Oh,
and then they have a mom and she has like the curling iron, the Amazon package that has to be returned, snacks for her kids, a bag for later, her purse, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The whole nine yards.
And they're wired differently than we are.
Yeah, we're just wired differently. So like multitasking definitely, I think, translates to work and can get in the way of productivity. And then, okay, the third one I'll mention is knowledge. Like sometimes I will become unproductive because I'll start a task and I'll be like, whoa, I actually don't know enough, or I don't have the right tools, or I don't have the right insights, or, you know, I don't have enough to keep the ball rolling. And so then I get stuck, right? Like if it's an easy unstuckable thing, like maybe I have to call someone, or maybe I have to do a little research. But even then, like if it's more than 15, 20 minutes, then I start having anxiety that I'm going down a rabbit hole and wasting time.
Yes.
And then ultimately I'm unproductive. Okay. So Kelly and I have identified four categories that affect productivity in general. And we have tools. We're going to give away the good stuff. We have tools within the four categories. The first one is focus and clarity. The second one is organization. Third one is time management. And fourth is your pace.
Yes.
I think those are four awesome categories, if I do say so myself.
I agree.
Okay. So do you want to start us off, Kelly, with focus and clarity?
Well, okay.
What are your top tools?
I've learned a lot, and I'm going to use my visual aids again. One of the books that really helped me with this idea of getting focus and clarity is the book called Essentialism by Greg McKeown. And the value proposition of essentialism is to really give yourself permission to stop doing it all, stop saying yes to everyone, so you can make your highest contribution to the things that really matter. And the idea is that if you could be truly excellent at one thing, what would it be? And there's main tips. He has a couple of main tips that I will always remember from this. The first one is do less, but better. The second is cut out the trivial. The next one's a really good one. Say yes to the only top 10% of opportunities. And this next one is one you and I already do quite successfully. Practice extreme and early preparation. We're there. And my favorite, which blows my mind, is if it isn't a clear yes, then it's a clear no. Oh, yeah. And that really provides clarity on what you should focus on.
Oh my gosh, so, that one last one gets me.
Yes. And Kelly Campbell, who works with Agency Scaler, is the one who recommended that I read this book. And she made that quote. So I'm re-quoting her quote, which was from this book, which I highly recommend. And I'm going to give you a couple other pointers because I have recently hired a coach about a month ago, and his name is Andrew Lawless. And there are so many coaches out there. They all seem to contact me because I must look like I need a coach. I'm not sure what, but I've talked to a lot of them. And for whatever reason, his process is what attracted to me the most. And his process, he was trained by Brendan Burchard, who wrote the book High Performance Habits, How Extraordinary People Became That Way. And this idea of high performance habits is really attractive to me. And so I wanted to share what I liked most about his training. First of all, in addition to the book, you're going to absolutely love this, Julia. There is a high performance planner.
Oh,
yes. And inside the planner,
is that 8.5 by 11?
It's a little bit bigger. It's a little bit bigger. And I bought a whole year's worth of these, and they're in different colors. But what they have every day, it helps you to focus on, for example, what are your top three goals or priorities of the day?
Okay.
The tasks that absolutely must be done today, and the people I need to connect with today in order to make this happen. And so your focus really should be on only those things that are on this list. And so each week you're writing those top three priorities and you're doing nothing else but those things that are on your list. And that means any calls that you take, any meetings that you have, and every single thing that's on your calendar must be related to what you've already written down in that book. Now, the other thing that is in this book, in this the calendar, is something called a high performance habits assessment. And you can take the assessment and it grades you on a wide range, six high performance habits, which is clarity, your why, energy. And for me, that since the pandemic has been really low. I've had a hard time keeping my energy up. So that was an area I really needed to work on. Productivity, which is not my problem or your problem. Influence, which is your ability to influence or connect with others. Necessity, are you making success a must? And courage. And you and I don't suffer from lack of courage either, right?
No.
So some of these we share. And the concept is once you get your score, you know what areas you need to focus on. And that correlates with your long-term success potential. And if you take the test regularly, you can see how you're improving. And so you know which areas are your superpowers, which areas are your strengths, which areas are your weaknesses and your problem areas. And you want to make sure that you're moving anything from a weakness or a problem area into a strength. And that really kind of helped give a framework for what I needed to work on. And how he sold me on this idea of coaching was he pitched this idea to me that said, if you were to rate yourself on your own performance on a daily basis, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself? Let me ask you that question, Julia. This week, how would you rate yourself on your own personal performance this week on a scale of 1 to 10?
Actually, this week, I would give myself a 9.
Fantastic.
This has been a great week. I'm not going to lie. Last week, not so much.
I will 100% agree with that statement. And if I would have taken the test on Wednesday, I would have given myself a 4 or a 3. But by taking it yesterday, today, I would give myself a 9 or a 10. And so his point was, what if I could tell you that you could be at a 9 or a 10 every single day?
And I said, so great. I'm in. Every day, so happy.
And so that's why I started to do his coaching sessions. Give me some of your thoughts and ideas on the same. Clarity and focus.
Yeah. I love the 3 things. Like, what 3 things should I focus on today? Right. I think that is a great, like, very simple thing you can do. Do you ever, okay, I do this. This definitely gets into my head. I will write down on my list for the day all the things I need to do, plus the things I would like to do, and the things that would be great to do, like the added bonus. And so then I end up having a really long list, and then it becomes overwhelming, and that deters my productivity, right? And then sometimes
it takes away from clarity and focus.
Correct. It totally takes away from clarity and focus. So maybe the thing that I should do is maybe continue doing my list, but I have, like, literally, I am the queen of highlighters. You probably didn't know this about me.
I did know that. Highlighters and books.
Every color of highlighter. I love a highlighter. So maybe I highlight.
I have these right here. I need yours though.
I have some of those too, but like, so maybe I need to highlight in a special color the 3 things that have to get done that day.
Yes.
I love that. Okay. So the only thing that I would add is, for focus and clarity, sometimes taking time for yourself and forcing yourself to break is helpful for focus and clarity, right? Like, it helps you become clear on what matters most. Sometimes it's not that thing at work that's driving you nuts, right? Sometimes it's the thing that's, well, now that we're working from home all the time, you know, the kid that's upstairs or whatever, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that I used to do when I was at my last job was we would all go to Pilates at lunch.
I love that.
And we did it at least 2 times a week. And it was the, like the 45-minute class. And we all went, and it was so great. It was a mental break. And I would find that I would come back to the office so much more refreshed. So of course now I still work out every day, but I do it before work. And so I have to force myself to take a break to refocus and get clarity.
And that's true. And you also have to do it with your own body rhythms, right? Like, if, yeah, like, I'm not a morning person, so to ask me to get out of bed and work out in the morning, it's just not going to happen. And so for me, I schedule 4:30 to 5 p.m. Don't tell anybody. That's when I do my yoga, because that's a good time for me. And it's a way to kind of wind down the day and deal with the stresses. But you also have to think about, you know, most people don't come up with great ideas from 9 to 5. We've talked about this in the past. You know, yep, sometimes there's great ideas that happen later. So focus and clarity isn't going to come during certain times of the day. However, they do say that first thing in the morning, it is obviously where you are the most focused, and you want to avoid that dead zone of 3 p.m., which is kind of the worst point of the day for clarity and focus and attention and productivity.
Yeah. So I would say to wrap this focus and clarity section up, I would say that I do agree with eating the frog here. If I were to practice what I just said and write down or highlight the three things that have to get done that day, I could then pick out the one that's the gnarliest, hardest one that I just am avoiding and just knock it out between 9 and 10. Now, here's another thing that I want to say though. When you talk about eating the frog, and let's just say, generically say, everyone is so much more focused and fresh in the morning, right? How do I avoid doing meetings in the morning then? Because then if I have a whole morning of meetings, by the time lunch is there, I am donezos. So, I mean, we'll get to this where we talk about time management, but I'm throwing that out there. Probably to eat the frog, you're going to have to intentionally block time. Okay, organization. So you and I probably get A++++ in this category because we love being organized. Maybe it's because we're moms, maybe because we're women, maybe it's our personality type, but
yes,
I think we've got this one down. So let's give our best tips here for organization. So let me start this off. I used to use monday.com. So Kelly, do you still use monday.com?
I'm giving it up.
You are?
Yeah, I'm giving it up. We stopped using it. Some of our clients wanted us to transition to Basecamp. And so we've kind of moved over to Basecamp and it hasn't helped. You and I have been using Trello, and sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't like it. So that's a helpful one because you can visualize. Maybe we're not using it right, because I think when you're able to visualize the tasks on their own in a different section, that really helps a lot. So I do like Trello conceptually.
I love Trello. And I will tell you that for 2022, I am going to move all of my to-do lists for every single client into Trello. Because
that says something.
And here is why. And I was talking to my mentor about this a couple of weeks ago and about my list problem, that I have too many things on my list, right? And that if I jot down a note that like maybe is something that's good for 2 to 3, 4 months from now, right? Or year end, it gets lost in my notebook.
Yes.
It gets lost. And then I've lost that great idea. So I started to talk to her about like,
or you can't read your own handwriting, which is my problem.
Yes. Or you don't like, you know, oh, I wrote this note kind of maybe this day or this week, and you end up having to look through 100 pages of notes to find it. So yes. We started talking about this, like, how do you use your paper and your digital to really become even more organized. So I have decided that I usually take the last 2 weeks of the year, not only to be with my family, but also to do lots of just like non-distracted things for my business. And like 2 years ago, it was to harness my accounting and get on QuickBooks so that everything is automated. Last year, it was to get organized for the entire year for my social media. This year, it is put everything on Trello. And that way I can capture the short-term and the long-term things. And that way, as I build my team, we can start assigning things to people and everyone knows who's in charge of what and what the urgent, important things are and what are not.
Love that.
So I have now come to the dark side of the Kanban boards.
Yeah. Love the Kanban.
So let's go back to the list thing. So do you think, Kelly, you could ever ditch a paper planner and go more digital?
This has been the bane of my existence since moving from working from the office to home. So I have decided, similar to you, that I need to digitize my note-taking system in some way, shape, or form. So I found an app on the Mac that I could download on my desktop that's yellow sticky notes. So I put the important things on the yellow sticky notes so that I have one of them right now of the things that I need to do by the end of the day today. And it's on my desktop. So that's one thing I did. but talk a little bit about the thing that you and I are obsessed about right now.
Yeah. Okay. So as I said, I was talking to my mentor about my lists and about how I need to like have a hybrid approach, right? The list that I actually write on my paper maybe needs to be more short-term things to do, things that I can check off and make me feel good. But I kind of hate taking notes on the computer during meeting. I still like handwriting. Yes. So, you know, some amazing marketer has been marketing to me about the Remarkable tablet. And I have gone down the rabbit hole of research on the Remarkable. I really would love to be able to take hand notes that then can be searchable. So I could search for a keyword, or I could search for a date or a client name. And ideally I could download them and put them in my Trello boards as meeting notes so that everyone could
yes.
see them, right? So I don't know. It might make my Christmas list.
So when I saw your notes on this, I was like, oh my God, that same marketer's targeting me everywhere. We must be the top two people on their marketing list, frankly. Yeah. And in fact, we should get them free, actually. We're promoting them right now on the podcast. So we'll let you know where to contact us, Remarkable. But I did officially put it on my Christmas list last night. I sent it to my husband and said, this is what I want. But when you're used to using paper for so many years, it's hard to pull back from that. But I officially have too much going on my desk, and I just want one system. So I agree. I want to move to 100% digital on that as well.
I was giving a presentation recently, and I started talking to people about their swipe file. Do you have a swipe file, Kelly?
Oh my God. What is a swipe file, Julia?
Oh my gosh. Okay. My swipe file are things that inspire me, maybe ads that I love, an email headline that makes me open.
Why is it called swipe?
Well, I save them. And then when I have like a big project or something where I need inspiration, I go back to my swipe file and I swipe it for use in something that I'm working on. So for example, I have been working for the past 2 months on two major email campaigns for clients. So major drips, lots of segmentation, things like that. They're more salesy in nature. And I needed some inspiration, like for good headlines, good subject lines, even in some cases, like good layouts, to have contrast, you know? And so I went back to my swipe file and found so many awesome examples of things that I loved. And I was able to swipe so many good things. Now, I did not copy, let's make this clear, right? Your swipe file is for inspiration. It's to create that spark.
All good ideas are recycled.
Yes, all great ideas are recycled.
So I love that idea. I also use Pinterest for those ideas. And I have lots going on in my Pinterest, and you'll see the waves of inspiration of what I'm working on based on what
I Pinterest.
Pin.
Yeah. That's like the perfect swipe file, right? Okay. Let's get to the last two sections.
Yes.
Time management. There are so many tools in this one. Okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to do the top two that I love. I do really love the Eisenhower matrix. And I guess maybe I should share my screen just so that everyone can see.
Yeah, go ahead. You've shared this with me before. And
I love this one.
I was going to print this out and put it as a sticky on my computer.
Yeah. Okay. So it's the columns are urgent and non-urgent. It's getting to what you were talking at the beginning, Kelly. The rows are important and not important, right?
So yeah.
If you have something in the top quadrant, which is urgent and important, you really should do it. Versus if you have something that's in the top right quadrant, which is not urgent, but important, you should make a plan to attack that to-do item, right? And then if you get into the not important, which is the bottom two quadrants, if it's not important, but urgent, then you might want to delegate that. And then if it is not urgent or not important, maybe you should eliminate it, reorganize it, and refresh it. Anyways, I think that
delegate it.
Yeah. Or delegate it. Yeah. I think it's a really helpful tool to figure out what should be on that top three of things that you have to do that day.
That makes it easy to combine those two things together.
Then my second one is write down 20 things that you want to accomplish in a specific amount of time. And then focus on 5. And you have to have a commitment that you will focus on not doing the other 15. Because I always will write a list of 20. I'll pick my top 5. And then somehow I'll be stuck on number 6 and 7. And that gets in the way of productivity. So there you go. Those are my top two. What are your top tips?
Well, I was going to say, to add on to that, you can use SMART goals, right? Specific, measurable, achievable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound to make sure that you're adding those in appropriately within your top three things. I think 5 is a lot. I think start with 3.
Yeah.
And then let's just get into time blocking a little bit here, because that's really essential. And I just talked about time blocking for my yoga. My team and I time block when we know we have to get something done. So we got to do XYZ, a marketing plan. We'll block out an entire day. And I'll do that 3 weeks ahead of time of things I need to do to make sure that nothing goes in. So I've built that time into my calendar. I hate the idea of like sending a Calendarly link and having someone pick a date on my calendar and put something in there. It drives me nuts. I know it's a salesperson thing, but I'm never going down that hole because I want to own my own time. The other thing that my coach suggested, which is a really easy thing to do, is change your meetings from 1 hour to 50 minutes or 45 minutes.
Yes.
And why is it they're always 1 hour? And if you do that, you spend that extra 10 to 15 minutes to absorb the information that you've already received in those 45 minutes, to finish your notes, to collect your thoughts, to take a deep breath before you move on to the next task. So that's one that I'm going to start to do, is I'm going to start to change the meetings. You know, it's either usually 30 minutes or 1 hour. Let's do them 45, 50 max, and see how they go, and give ourselves the time to breathe.
I love that. I block Fridays.
Oh, I do too.
I'm probably successful at 50% of the time at actually keeping meetings off the calendar so that I can truly focus and be productive.
The other thing, you know, you talk about the top 5, I talk about the top 3. There's a book out there that I've read called The One Thing.
It's a great book.
Yes. Gary Keller, The Surprise. Rising Simple Truth Behind Extraordinary Results. And the book is all about, at any given point in time, there's only one thing that you should focus on doing that will propel you to the success that you want. And what is that one thing that's going to move you closest to your goal? So that's taking your 5 down to my 3 down to one thing. And I think to a certain extent, it's going to be hard enough for you to get down to the 3, which I encourage you to move from 5 to 3.
Yeah. Green.
And both of us from to move to 3 down to 1.
Last question before we move on to the last category, which is dun-dun-dun, inbox 0, which is kind of like patient 0, I guess. But like, I think when we talk about distractions as obstacles to productivity, I think the email inbox is definitely
the worst.
I mean, probably more so than not, definitely a distraction. And I am definitely always guilty of doing this, is trying to get down to inbox 0. I just want to have no one emailing and asking for anything, right? Which is so unreasonable. It's never going to happen, ever.
Yes.
What do you think about inbox 0? And do you practice it?
I used to, and I stopped. I stopped, and I really stopped this year. And I read Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Work Week, which is worth a read just so you understand the concept, but not possible. Sorry, Tim, it's just not possible. Great idea, sounds great, never gonna work. Anyway, his idea is that you only read emails at 12 p.m. and 4 p.m. Which I like the idea of looking your emails twice a day, but 12 p.m., there's no way in a client service business you can't look at things first thing in the morning. So
no.
I like his idea. It's going to be hard for me to get down to twice a day, but I've definitely tried to narrow it down to 3 times a day. Once first thing, once midday and then towards the middle of the afternoon. And I flag my client emails, so I'll be able to see those, and I'll scan things first thing in the morning, but I do not respond to things that are not on my priority list anymore.
Ooh.
And so that has changed things significantly. Because you think about it, you're getting so many emails from salespeople and this and that, and not all of it, 99.9% of it is not important. Might be urgent, but not important. And so I leave it. And then maybe on Fridays, I'll clean it up and get them out. A lot of times, honestly, I'll do it on a weekend. The other thing that I did with my team last year when we moved to the pandemic is we added Slack. And I know Slack is kind of the bane of your existence.
Yes.
You love Trello, but not Slack. I'm not sure why. I am a huge fan of Slack. And here's why. The majority of your email clog up tends to be your own employees, right? And yourself by sending people emails about tasks that you're trying to do. So we had a system where don't send each other emails anymore unless it's CCing an email to a client. Anything goes on Slack that has to do with internal correspondence. And so we have folders within Slack about different clients, about new business, about social media, about inspiration, about continuing education, resources, you name it, it's in Slack. I also turned off the notifications on my email and on Slack. And I will look at them and I'll see them, but I will only deal with the ones that are important. But they're not dinging all day, because part of that dinging is also stops you from having your focus. So that helps me a lot. So I'm not getting as much email because the team is using Slack and we can communicate that way in real time. And people can remain focused on what they need to do.
Okay. I'm gonna marinate on that one.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Do. Last one is your pace.
Yes.
So this is, probably maybe the least important, but pace should be different for different tasks, should be different for client work versus agency internal work. There's obviously, I think in our industry, we live on deadlines. There's always a hard deadline for something. I actually posted something on LinkedIn recently about bursting or plodding, and people really responded to this one. And it's really a pace thing, right? So are you a burster? Say you have your top three things that you need to do for that day. Do you focus on those for short periods of time and try to get as far down on the road on those things as possible? Or do you plod? Do you break up something into little pieces and pull it, elongate it so that you're doing little pieces at a time and not necessarily deadline, it more long-term deadline driven. So I think that's kind of my top tip, figuring out if you're a burster or a plotter, or if you're both, and when is each appropriate.
I love that. I think that's really helpful to think of things in that way, because you do have to have both. And I believe that that's one of the biggest improvement areas for me, because I am a burster, and I'm a burster at 110%. I'm a 0 to 60 person. I do it and I do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it. And then I'm dead and I'm watching Netflix and unable to move. So I have to figure out a way to, you can't burst all the time. And I think I'm so used to operating at that level that I'm going to have to balance and adding in more prodding, because I can't maintain my current level. And I think a lot of that is going to have to be included in some of the time blocking that we talked about, and taking more breaks and shortening the time periods of when the meetings are, adding that extra 10 to 15 minutes to meditate, to, absorb, to stretch, to, whatever. Take the dog for a walk. Edgar needs a walk, loves a walk. I'm going to do that right now. And so I think that combination of both is really important. And ultimate happiness is really your family, right? And you need to leave some energy at the end of the day to have family time. And while high performance work is really important to me, I also need to leave enough gas in the tank for my family. And I haven't been very good about that. So I need to work on.
I have been terrible at it. Just way too focused on accomplishments and achievements. I can't believe I'm actually admitting this on a podcast. But you're absolutely right. There has to be, especially as our kids get older. I was telling someone this, and you probably can tell me if this is right, Kelly. I feel like as my kids get older, their needs become so much more complex. They're not as exhausting as when they were little, because when they're little, like, you have to keep on them and they're constant, you know, but then when they're older, they're the problems and the issues and the things to talk about and work through or learn are just so much more complex. And it takes just a different type of stamina, right? So if I'm bursting all day at work, I'm donezos at the end of the day. I don't have any more bursts in me, you know, and that's not fair to my family. So it's another,
well, that's something we both will work on.
Key to productivity holistically. Well, I think those were as much as we could pour into an episode that we could. So thanks for a good one, Kelly.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a podcast review or send us a message at twomarketingmoms.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time.